Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. It's only just a matter of... Thanks so much for listening to this bonus podcast. Been having a fantastic conversation with Pastor Drew Shepp. He's a campus pastor for Substance Church. We've been drawing from the story of Jonah and how we can learn so many lessons from Jonah's story about our own God-given calling. And Drew, this is so good. You said, in the mundane, small, faithful details of life, God is building something better than a platform or a dream. He's building your character. You see, he wants to make sure the structural integrity of your heart and your character can withstand the weight of the purpose he has for you. You mentioned that a little bit toward the end of the show, but let's pick up right there. Say a bit more again for that person who's weary in the waiting. Is there anything that they can do to make this process last longer than it normally would?
Yeah, I'm a big believer that God tests those he loves, right? And it's from a place of love by God. God loves us. We're accepted. You know, he's not testing that. He's actually testing. He wants to know that as he brings us into everything that he has for us, we want to pass the test. We want to pass the test of character and faithfulness. And I've had so many times in my life where I've taken the same test over and over and over again because of whining or because of feeling victimized or because I just didn't have the people in my life to tell me the truth, to point out my blind spots, to say I want to walk forward and not stay stuck in where I'm at. And the truth is, nothing is wasted by God. God wastes no experience. He wastes no circumstance. He wastes nothing. At the same time, it's on us to not be led by our feelings or emotions. As my father-in-law, a great man of God, has always taught me, we can't feel our way into a season of obedience. We have to put our actions out in front of our feelings and sometimes literally obey our way into a new way of feeling, right? And so for so many of us, we get stuck in our feelings and in our emotions, and they just get us stuck where God would say, hey, I've given you emotions. That's not a sin to feel emotions, but don't get stuck in those things, right? Mm-hmm. Move yourself forward, especially when you don't feel like it, because I'm a big believer that God's grace will meet us in that place as we step into what he's calling us into, regardless of how we feel.
Mm. I just love that you had the humility to listen to the voice of the Lord through your mom to say, you know what, this has got to go a different way. And for if you just hopped on at this place as a young married guy with your purple mohawk, I just think that's so funny, and your lip ring, which really is a side note, it's just fun to mention. But you were volunteering and kind of serving in all these ministry capacities, but really not making money for your family. And your mom just saying, you've got to move your family forward. You go get a job at Caribou, and you're managing the staff, and you're feeling like I'm far away from my calling, but God have your way in me. I'm just telling you, and through that, as you just were saying, gird me up, give me the character, and then the calling came to you. I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. Mark Rutland, but I've had him on a bunch of times, and I just love the man, but he always says exactly the same thing, much like with King David. Your calling will come to you. You be the man or the woman God wants you to be, your calling will find you.
Yes.
But I got to tell you, at this age, Drew, the number of women that I've either mentored or just met with and hugged and prayed over, as I've traveled across the country, there are two extremes, and this is probably the case with women as well, but women who've told me this about their husbands, that either the man wants, as you said earlier in the interview, it's much easier to be walking out your dream, being on the stage, crafting a message, getting the praise of man, than it is to enter the mess of your home with children and loving your wife as Christ loved the church. Much easier to get the praise of man. And so what I've heard from women is their husbands want the praise of man, and so they'll leave their family for a younger version. You know what I mean? Somebody they work with, they'll just abandon. They're chasing the dream, going, this has to be the answer. It fuels something in me. It's an adrenaline for me. Or they're chasing ministry and under the guise of Christianity while neglecting everything at home, and their wife is dying on the vine. I'm sure you as a pastor see those two extremes as well.
Absolutely.
Speak to that if you would.
Yeah, I think in many ways we're hardwired for novelty, right? Mm. We like the new, fresh, exciting, thrilling things in life. Right? I think we're hardwired for that. I mean, God created us to enjoy his creation. And so what I would say is that is basically us living the life God intended to, but just in a totally different direction. God created us to enjoy his creation, to be amazed by it, to be wowed, to say, well, this is a magnificent thing that you've given me, God. And when it isn't about God, it's about us, we're going to try to fill that thing with God's creation, right? And so in so many ways, We're looking for the new, fresh, exciting, the thing that's going to make the hair in the back of my neck stand up. And we assume that as long as it's making me feel good, God must be in this. And we can convince ourselves of a lot of terrible things
indeed.
The further we follow that. And it's a biblical principle, right, of the further I follow my flesh, the more God is actually going to give me over to that. And I'm going to be blind to it. And which is why I say all the more importance to have these those people in your life. I can't state it more seriously enough, right? Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Right? You are the sum total of your 4 to 7 closest people in your inner circle. They will dictate where you go in your life. They will. They will, they will, they will. So we take a lot of energy at Substance on how do we help people not just attend a church service, right, to come for 65 minutes on a Sunday, but use that as a kind of a drawing in for people. Hey, you got to find your people. You got to find your circle. You got to find the men and women in your life who will tell you the truth, who will keep you anchored to what God has called you to in your life right now, who will help you discern and help you have wisdom and help you be filled with the Spirit of God, right, that will keep you in the place God has you. I just can't say that strongly enough. Because here's the deal. If I follow myself, I'm going to get myself. Right, but if I'm following God and God through the people in my life, I am wired to need people in my life. And now I'm the biggest introvert you could possibly imagine. People like basically exhaust me.
Exactly.
They exhaust me. So
and
I get
here
done
we are in people ministry.
Here we are. Yeah. I get done with Sundays and I am like destroyed on the couch, just in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it, right? Mm-hmm. Being an introvert does not give me an excuse not to have close friends in my life.
Very good.
Right? My personality is not an excuse for behavior. Pastor Carolyn says this all the time. It's not an excuse for behavior. It's a jumping off point for growth.
Mm.
So just because I'm an introvert, just because I don't necessarily want to be around a lot of people all the time, I do not have an excuse not to have close people in my life, people who will tell me the truth and keep me on the path God has for me.
Boy, that's good. You know, I'm convinced that we all have a measure of self-deception, that we don't know what we don't know. And it would take a lot of courage, again, to pray Psalm 139, Lord, search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me in the everlasting way. God will never beat you down, but he will call you up. And I love this. She said, we need to dare to ask ourselves, what are the areas of my life that I'm currently neglecting? How am I compromising? What am I currently compromising to chase my destiny? My parenting, my marriage, my finances, my own personal holiness. Every small thing that you do matters big time in God's eyes. Let's just have you unpack that just a bit more. Again, these are gutsy questions. So you're painting a picture. Yes, dream big. Yes, pay attention to your passions. But there's a dailiness to this call. It's hard sometimes. It will always require humility and holiness and growth and people speaking into your lives. These are things that people don't want. But this, taking inventory, what in areas of my life am I currently neglecting so that I can chase my dreams? Say more if you would.
Yeah, we live in a world that is fast and it's increasing in speed. Have you noticed this? Where I used to have to wait to order something from a catalog for like 3 to 6 weeks. I can one click buy something and have it in the next 3 hours right now. It's wild how fast things are moving. And in general, it's conditioning us as followers of Christ to want things fast, right? I would rather have a microwaved destiny than the crock pot of having to walk out the long journey of development and maturity and humility and character. It's just everything around us is conditioning us towards speed and acceleration, right? We want the 6-lane super highway to my destiny. And I just believe that God prefers the dirt path.
Yeah.
Right? He just prefers, you know, you're walking, right? It's not comfortable. It's not even paved. Your feet are getting dirty. You're getting tired. You're getting hungry. It's slow. I'm telling you, I just believe that God desires the dirt path. It doesn't happen in a moment. It's a million small moments all added together. I think it's Pastor Craig Rochelle that said, you know, we always overestimate what we can do in a year, and we underestimate what God can do in 5 years of small, mundane moments of faithfulness.
Amen.
It's just such an important thing for us to know that nothing is wasted, that God is always doing something. He's always up to something in our lives. So I don't want the microwaved, consolidated version of my calling. I want the real thing. And when God does give it to me, I want to be able to steward it for a long time.
Amen.
I don't want to drop that ball. I don't want to cause pain in people's lives because I don't have the character necessary to steward that thing. I want to have the humility, the teachability, the grace and kindness, you know, etched into my life that just comes from a natural place of God has done this.
Amen. A book you would love, Drew, is by Jeff Mannion. It's called Dream Big, Think Small. And it's all about this, the everydayness. And one of the things he talked about was perseverance. And he said, it's not just to persevere, though. He said, a teacher can be a teacher for 40 years, but only have their heart in it for 20. You know, he said, what's heroic is keeping your heart in it.
Yeah.
That is a big thing. So, and again, and that won't happen if you're not nurturing and stewarding what's going on, because there's times in the delays when you feel like a boss missed you or somebody snubbed you, you give people way too much power. But when all along God is undergirding your purpose, nothing can stop him from carrying it through. But if you look at it and going, well, them, and you get an attitude and you start to usurp authority, all those things reveal what's already in your character.
Totally.
And you tell in your sermon a story about someone named Coda.
Yeah.
Would you mind telling us his story?
Yeah, so this is a story I came across in a book called Chop Wood, Carry Water, one of my favorite books that I read/listened to last year. And it kind of hit me that this is such a great example of what we're talking about here, right, of the small, mundane moments of life. So the story goes like this. Coda is a man who is an architect living in Japan, right? I'm not sure if this story is true, but it definitely hits home for me. So Coda was infamous for building some of the finest houses in all of Japan, right? His attention to detail, he was meticulously dedicated to his craft. He was relentlessly devoted to learning and improving, even like late into his career. His heart was definitely engaged in it. But eventually, like any of us would, he kind of grows weary and wants to retire, right? He's been building homes for 30 years. He's ready to move on. He wants to travel, spend time with his grandkids, and really, who can blame him, right? So one day, Coda goes into a supervisor and gives him a 2-week notice. Hey, I'm going to retire. Thank you so much for everything you've done. And his boss replies by saying, Coda, you know, we are forever indebted to you, the magnificent work you've done for us. We have one more favor to ask, right? Will you just build one more house for us? This house is maybe the most important one that you've ever built. It's for an extremely important client. The entire company agrees that Coda needs to be the one to build this house. We all agree you should do it. Right, so Coda, you know, understandably frustrated by this, right? He's already going to have to cancel some trips. He's going to have to push back his retirement. After discussing with his wife, he's like, fine, I'll build the house. The trouble was, as you just referenced, Susie, that he had agreed to build this house, but his heart was no longer in it, right? He wasn't there. Typically, he was meticulous with the building process, but this time, you know, he usually selected the finest materials, making sure every detail was picture perfect. This time, he delegated a lot of it. Things started to slip through the cracks. You know, the house would be up to code, but it definitely wouldn't be the quality of every other home that he built with his life. So he's over it, right? The further this building process goes, he's done. He's more than ready to move on to this next phase of his life, okay? In fact, the next phase, if he's honest, was way more appealing and way more important to him than finishing his present phase well. So for four months, the house is done. Coda goes to see his boss, and he's so done. I'm retiring once and for all. And his boss says, Coda, thank you so much. I have one more thing. And this time Coda is seething. He's like, I cannot believe I've already been suckered into building one more. I can't believe this guy is going to ask me to do one more thing. Well, his boss reaches into his desk, pulls out a little black box with a red ribbon around it, and he gives it to Coda, says, hey, this is to show you how much we appreciate everything that you've done for this company. Coda opens the box, takes off the lid, and sees there's a key to the house that he just built. And immediately his heart sank because he realized that the entire time Coda had been building his own house, right? And if only he had known that he was building his own house, he would have done everything differently. Everything.
Mm, wow.
I can't help but wonder, for so many of us, if we actually knew eternally what we were building in those moments of mundane faithfulness, in those moments of parenting and disciplining our kids, in the moments of having the conflict and the pushing through that with our spouses, in the moments of, you know, doing a task at our jobs that we think is meaningless, I can't help but wonder if we actually saw what we were building, we would see things totally differently.
Can I get an amen? I'm sorry, I have to ask for an amen. Text me 877-933-2484. You know, scholars, I've read a lot about end times, different theologians and commentaries, but one said, we're stewards now, we're going to be owners then. And how we live here really does impact how we live there. So that story very much applies how we're stewarding, what we're stewarding now for then. And it also makes me think, Drew, of how many times we leave before we leave. And it's not noble to stay if your heart isn't in it. It's noble to stay with your heart in it. And Boy, you said this from your sermon. You said you are building the foundation, the structural integrity that you will stand on for the rest of your life. Do not cut corners. Don't give up. Don't try to artificially fast forward anything. Commit yourself to the process. Listen to me. Nothing is wasted in God's economy. He sees every single small moment, and in the small moments, He is building you. Fantastic. Last question for you, Drew. What do you know about the Lord now that you didn't know even a handful of years ago?
Oh, man, such a big question. I could spend the next hour. But I think the thing that I've been the most amazed and even shocked by is the faithfulness of God to us. As I've, you know, journeyed in my marriage over, you know, close to 13 years and parenting and tons of failures and some successes mixed in there by the grace of God, His faithfulness to His people never ceases to amaze me. The fact that He doesn't get sick of me, the fact that He doesn't get frustrated with me, the fact that He's so incredible. You mentioned it earlier that His patience is so mind-blowing. It's unbelievable. I think of myself as a father with my kids. You know, they're right now they're 11, 9, 7, and 3, and it's crazy, right? And God has infinitely more kids than that. I can't imagine what it takes to not to be patient and slow to anger and abounding in kindness and just so incredibly faithful. We live in this contractual world, right, where you hold up your end of the bargain and I hold up my end and we're good. And even then, we might not be good because I might find something better. And the covenant that God makes with His people is, you know, Hebrews calls Him the covenant-keeping God. He's faithful to keep His covenant with us even when I'm not, and especially when I'm not. And so I've just been so encouraged by the faithfulness of God, how near He is, and the fact that it's, I just tend to believe it's not theologically possible to be far from God. Mm-hmm. It's possible to feel far from God.
Yeah, right.
But He's always there.
That's right.
He's always faithful. Right. All it takes is a step back in His direction, and He's right there. He's with us. He's good. He's way better than we think. And this, the faithfulness of God kind of haunts me in the most beautiful way all the time. Mm-hmm. That no matter what this life happens, what happens in this life to me or through me or because of me, He's faithful. Mm-hmm. He just is faithful. And I'm trying my best to instill that in my kids, right? Hey, just so you know, there's nothing that you could do to cause me to love you less. There's nothing you can do to cause me to love you more. And that's just a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Wow. Pastor Drew, I pray you'll come back and join us again. This has been just a feast, really, for the soul. Thank you for the way that you steward your call, the way you walk with God, and the way you serve the kingdom. And thanks for giving us your time today.
My pleasure. It's been an honor. Thank you for having me, Susie.
Wow. What a great hour. We'll see you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this bonus podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. This content is available thanks to the gifts of generous listeners just like you. You can become a supporter today at myfaithradio.com.